The mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
John E. Montgomery II.
Bless you. May we bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this another day that you've given unto us, and thank you again for those who have stretched beyond that was convenient or comfortable to be here at this lunch hour to share the word of God. We ask that you would allow your spirit to meet us right where we are and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be. For your glory and our good, it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to begin reading at Luke chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. And then we're going to skip to the 35th verse of the 5th chapter of Luke. Then ask Reverend Daniel Smith to read for us, if you will.
Luke chapter 5, verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your...
Is that Luke 5? Okay, where are you? Okay, go ahead.
What reason ye in your heart, whether it is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee.
That's not it. That's wrong. Excuse me 1 second here. I'm sorry, Mark 5. Mark 5:22. Yes, thank you.
Mark 5:22.
There we go. All right.
And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him.
All right, we're going to go to 35, but each verse, I want you to name the verse you read. 35, 36.
Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Verse 38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed and greatly. Verse 39. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth where the damsel was lying. And 41. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise.
Amen. God bless that ado. Thank you so much. I want to focus our attention on, if we were using for a subject, seeing beyond the seen. S-E-E-N. Seeing beyond the seen. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this is it is a means for helping us to deal with our spiritual challenges beyond what appears in the visible, the viewable present. We are not just made of dust and just flesh and blood. We are made of spirit, and therefore we have another dimension through which we can access God the Father. Amen. To be able to get things done in the earth realm. Now, what is fortunate is the fact that, again, we are not dichotomies or dichotomous beings, which again is flesh and blood, but trichotomous, which is flesh, blood, and spirit. And most times we seldom rise above the dichotomy of our own existence or consciousness to reach into the reality of our trichotomy. In other words, many times we never tap into the spiritual power that we possess. And this word is showing us through Jesus Christ how through faith and the spirit realm that we're able to achieve things beyond that is seen or viewed as the normal or the possible or that has existed and cannot be changed. One of the things that we will note is that as believers, taking note after our Heavenly Father, who spoke things into being, who called things out of nothing, who changed and rearranged things all by the power of his word, is a reality in us on a lower level. Amen. And so what we've got to learn to do is activate our faith. Say, learn to activate your faith. In every situation. You see, I may have activated it for this one thing, but if I don't activate it for another thing, then it's not going to operate for me. And so here is, again, a very interesting story. Now, we know this. It's a very familiar story. From verse 22 to verse 24, we have Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. Now, here's what's interesting about this. He is totally putting himself out on Front Street. He's a part of the religious community that don't quite know what to do with Jesus. He has turned their religious world upside down. But now there is a crisis that has occurred in his own home. His daughter, his flesh and blood, his child is now sick at the point of death. Now, he knows that recognized religion can't do nothing for him. Amen. He's a ruler of the synagogue. If he knew all was well and all was what it would be, he would not have needed to come to Jesus. But now he leaves the comfort of being the ruler, one of the rulers in the synagogue, to find Jesus. So the first thing I want you to know is he comes in faith. He comes in faith. This man is looking for Jesus because he knows through what he has heard about Jesus and probably in some other gatherings, maybe in the back crowds, witnessed Jesus doing. And now that the crisis has hit his house, he says, I'm going to Jesus. Amen. So he comes to Jesus by faith. But then verse 23 reveals the fact that he speaks to Jesus by faith. See, it's not just enough to come by faith. You got to speak to Jesus through faith. And so now he tells Jesus what he needs him to do. He acknowledges that his little daughter is sick at the point of death. He needs him to come, lay hands on her, heal her, and she shall live. This is not him speaking by faith. Listen, I need you to come to my house, lay hands on her. She will be healed and live. Now remember, part of his sharing with Jesus was that she was, when he left home, at the point of death. Amen. So he knew that was a great possibility that if Jesus didn't come to his house soon, the girl would be dead by the time he got back home. Amen. Now, scripture doesn't really tell us how long she's been in this state, but it's clear that she's been in this state for a little while. Okay, so now Jesus turns in verse 24 and goes with him. On the way to Jairus's house, a woman with an issue of blood who's following the crowd gets close enough to Jesus to touch his garment. Now I want you to see something else about this woman. She comes in faith. But if you read the text, you'll also notice that she spoke in faith. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. So she spoke in faith. But now both of them had to do, and in verse, all the way, if you read again from verse 25 through verse 34, you're going to see that she was steadfast in faith. So you've got to come in faith. You've got to speak in faith. But you've got to be steadfast in faith. In other words, you can't just come to Jesus and then when you get there, be afraid to open up your mouth or tell him what you want. All right? All right. Secondly, when you tell him what you want, then you've got to wait or make sure that you're willing to wait to get whatever it is you're asking him for. To be steadfast in faith. Now, they're on the way to Jairus' house, but this woman's faith is so strong, she interrupts the journey. And Jesus has to stop and deal with her because her faith is more urgent. Now, this little girl might have been going through something for several days, but she's been going through this for 12 years. All right? She's at the point, I can't wait no more. I understand you're busy. I understand you got things to do. I understand you're on your way somewhere else. But all I need to do is touch your garment. And so listen at this. Jairus wanted Jesus to come to his house and touch his daughter. The woman said, if I can just touch him, the garment, I'll be made whole. So look again, both of them are operating in faith. And this is another thing that I think you need to understand. The Lord will meet you where your faith level is. We've thrown that out before, but you need to recognize that. You don't have to have my faith or, you know, one of the other members of the church faith or some believer who's been with the Lord for many years. You just got to have enough faith to believe that he's going to do what you're asking him to do. Amen. So then she gets her healing while they are on the way to Jairus's house. Now, after she gets her healing, they continue on with the processional. But before Jesus is ending the conversation with her, verse 35, one of the men come from Jairus's house and tell Jairus, man, your daughter is dead. Read again verse 35, Daddy.
While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?
All right, listen at this. Now they come to Jairus now. Jesus is ministering because he's finishing up with the woman with the issue of blood. She's got her healing. She's happy. Jairus now hears this bad news. Verse 35. But look at what he says in verse 36.
As soon as Jesus heard the word that was...
As what?
As
soon as Jesus heard what?
The word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe.
All right. Now listen to this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that this man's servant had spoken, he turned to Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believe. Now here's what Jesus knew. Jesus knew that Jairus came to him in faith. Jesus knew that Jairus spoke to him in faith. Not what Jesus was telling him, be steadfast in faith. Be not afraid, only believe. Now, as soon as he heard it, now this struck me because this is what we need to understand. Jesus canceled out the fruitless works of fear as soon as he heard them by, listen, commanding him to hear words of faith and believe. See, what you've got to understand, when folks start speaking that negative stuff, you got to cancel that mess out and start speaking something positive and authoritative. Listen, he canceled out what the man had said. Man, don't even hear, you heard that, but don't even pay no attention to that. Listen, you came to me in faith. You spoke to me in faith. Keep the faith. In spite of what you hear, I know what you came for me to do. And I know that it seemed like it don't make no sense now because your daughter is dead according to them. But he says, be not afraid. See, because when fear enters in, then you start thinking some of everything. And when you start thinking every kind of thing, it's usually not faith-filled stuff. And so when that fear enters in, faith leaves out. So Jesus canceled out the fruitless works of fear and spoke to this man faith authoritatively. Verse 37.
And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James.
All right. Now, here's another point. Select carefully who you allow to share in your spiritual challenges. Select carefully who you allow to share in your spiritual challenges. Now, Jesus suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John. He was careful about who he selected to share in this spiritual challenge. Now, this is a helpful holy hint to us. Number one, it's clear that Jesus knows that at certain points in your life, when you are spiritually challenged, you don't need folk who are negative and fearful and faithless around you, because all you're gonna get is negativity, fearfulness, and faithless words being spoken to you. In other words, they're gonna make a bad situation worse. So save yourself some trouble by not letting everybody, even though they may mean well. Now, this man came to deliver news to Jairus. The news was his daughter was dead, but then he goes on further to tell him, why are you continuing to trouble Jesus now? That ain't his business. His business was to bring the news, the daughter's dead, daughter's dead. Okay, thank you very kind. Well, don't continue to trouble Jesus about this. He can't do nothing about this, man. So now suppose Jairus would have turned around when he heard the news and went home. The daughter would have remained dead. But as soon as Jesus heard it, he spoke to the man who came to him speak in faith, who came to him in faith and say, continue in faith. And then he selected who he wanted to go. Verse 38.
And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, mm-hmm, and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly.
Okay, he saw the tumult and he saw those who were out there wailing and weeping greatly. Now, keep in mind, in this day and time, they had what they call professional mourners. And the higher up you were, that were people, number one, who were what's called the commoners, who had an affinity for the leadership and for celebrity status and all of those. You know, just kind of like when, you know, certain fans hear about a celebrity being sick, they'll, you know, surround the hospital, they'll put bears and light candles and flowers and stuff and all of that, praying and doing vigils and stuff. Well, that was no different in that day and time. The difference here is when they heard that someone had died, they would gather together and they would literally, in New Orleans, they would call it a second line. Yeah, you know, they march slowly to the grave mourning and, you know, wailing and weeping or whatever the case is. But coming back, they have a party, have a celebration. All right, so these people were there just, you know, howling and screaming and oh, this, that, and the other, and all the rest of this. They were really making a lot of noise. One, because it was one of the ruler's children. So there were people there who professionally did it, but there were there those who were truly and genuinely concerned there. And yet all of that was going on when Jesus showed up. Read on verse 39.
And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.
All right. Listen now. Jesus now, he gets through the crowd, gets in the house. Now, in the house is where the professional mourners are and the people who are leading this wailing, weeping ceremony. And Jesus comes in and he says, what are y'all doing? Making all this noise, whooping and howling and carrying on. And they, you know, it was the purpose of it was to make the family feel, believe it or not, that that person was loved and missed and, you know, revered. And now that they're gone, that the show of expression of sympathy, the pouring out of concern for the community would make them feel better because they're sharing their grief. Well, in this case, Jesus said, y'all causing grief. All this noise, y'all making all this ado about nothing. He says, now listen, because here's the next principle I want you to understand, that Jesus says, the girl isn't dead, she's asleep. Now she's asleep. So the next thing I need you to understand is you need to speak to your challenges authoritatively. Or rather, speak about your challenges authoritatively. Listen, Jesus spoke about his challenge authoritatively. He said before he even saw the girl that she wasn't dead. She was sleeping. He hadn't even gotten to her yet. But look at what he did when he spoke about it. Now, he heard the news. He heard the man tell Jairus his daughter is dead. But that's not how he saw it. He saw beyond what was seen. And so when he started opening his mouth up about anything concerning that spiritual challenge, look at how authoritatively he spoke. He says, the damsel is not dead, but she is asleep. She's asleep. She's sleeping. All right, need to read the next verse.
And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying.
Okay.
And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise.
All right. Now listen to this, because There are a couple more points here that I need you to understand. Because now, keep in mind, all of this is to help us deal with our situation. You see, if everything in the Word of God is given for our learning, then what sense if we learn it and don't use it? Okay? So now, he's dealing with him, but he's sharing with us how to handle spiritual challenges. Again, you speak authoritatively about your challenge. In other words, you don't let the challenge overtake you. You overtake the challenge. And the first way you do that is by speaking into the atmosphere the reality of what you want to see. So Jesus comes in and he's asking them, why are you doing all of this? The girl is not dead. She is asleep. So he spoke authoritatively to the challenge. All right, about the challenge. Now, when we go into, he then puts all of them out after they laugh at him because they're like, he don't know. Man, why you think we're doing all this? We're doing all this because she dead. You know, you ain't got the word. You didn't get the memo. And they're like, okay, now you, who's the fool? You know, you here like you gonna do something, and we're here because something's already been done. So look at what Jesus does. He puts out those who happen to have beat him to the place of situation. And that will be some folk when you get home sometime, or to the place you're going sometime, that then heard and got there before you get there. And they've already got their stuff going. But look at what Jesus did. He put them out. He let them laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Now get out. And then he put them out. He put everything that was contradictory to faith and to what he spoke out. And he took the father and the mother and the men he brought with him. And he went into the girl's room. And then, look, he took her by the hand. And then he spoke, Talithi Kuma. Talithi Kumi. Now, it's of an Aramaic term, both of those words. Talithi means damsel or maiden. Kumi means arise. And it simply means damsel or maiden, arise. Now, here's what's interesting, because when I read it up and looked that up, he didn't talk dead talk to the girl. He talked living talk. But then he didn't even use no deep spiritual religious talk. He used a common term. Talitha Kumi was what mothers used to go and tell their little daughters when it was time to get up for school. Talitha Kumi, damsel, get up. That was a regular term. Well, let me see if I can help you understand. If he said she wasn't dead, then he didn't use dead terms. He said she was asleep. So damsel or daughter or maiden, get up was enough if she's sleeping. If she's sleeping, he doesn't have to scream and holler. He doesn't have to say, I, by the authority, I speak life back into your body. He says, she's damsel, arise. Listen now, he took her by the hand and then spoke the words, and look at the result. The damsel arose and walked. Now, she wouldn't have done that if she was dead. But even, listen, Jesus didn't, he was trying to, you know, even in the police force, there is a thing that's called appropriate force with the threat. It didn't make no sense for him to call heaven down and all the rest of it up just to wake the little girl up. So he used the appropriate term for what he had spoken the situation to be. And so you're going to know, my brothers and sisters, that when you are operating by faith, you have got to walk in that same faith. Before he ever spoke to her, he took her by the hand. He expected that when he got through saying what he was going to say, that she was going to get up. And not only did she get